Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or now for free pickup. 800-245-1375. 800-245-1375. 800-245-1375. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-1375.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1820. 855-325-1820. That's 855-325-1820.
Hey, listen up. The official all-digital radio app is here. That's right. The all-digital radio app lets you stream all your favorite channels, all the time, on all of your mobile devices. Take all-digital radio with you everywhere you go by downloading the official app today at alldigitalradio.com. Or you can find the app in the Apple Store and on Google Play by searching all-digital radio. It's simple, easy, and it's free. Just download, choose your station, and start listening. Your favorite radio network is now your favorite app. Go to alldigitalradio.com and download it today. Promote your music, product, or service on air for as little as $5. Visit our website for more details at alldigitalradio.com.
You are listening to the All Digital Radio Network.
This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all.
So you're a tough guy, like a really rough guy. You just can't get enough guy, just always a rough guy. Yeah, I'm the bad type, make your mama sad type, make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm a bad guy.
Well, are we bad guys?
We can be.
Maybe.
Here, wait.
We're certainly ornery.
I can prove it.
Fuck it all! Oh, fuck God. It all!
No, I hate you. Said we're bad guys, so.
Well, that lasted about 30 seconds into the show.
Not even.
Oh, man. Oh, well, since you're on the soundboard, welcome to Off Hook Radio for February 24th.
2020.
Thank you, Baba. I love Baba Wawa.
I'm always on the sound.
So, gee, you know, it's too bad we have a show and there's like no news today.
There's never any news.
Oh God, no. Apparently, the coronavirus, which Mexico is lobbying to change the name of.
Well, the beer wants it changed too, so they changed the name of the beer to Ebola.
Ebola, yeah, it'll sell better. But I got some thoughts on this. Coronavirus hit the U.S. Stock market today. It's like the virus is snow flurries and the whole world's trying to buy bread and milk. I mean, they're just freaking out. What this does teach us is that the world's economy, while the U.S. leads it, is interconnected. China and the other Asian countries are hit most heavily with this, and they're freaking out. And the trade of goods is about to be affected. You know, the way we run our economy, manufacturing, everything, is just-in-time inventory. It's a production and profit key, and it's success for our economy depends on it. and that economy can get disrupted, and soon will, when retail parts and products stop getting here. Our markets finally figured this out today, and the stock market dropped about 3.5%. This is over a virus that seemingly has a death rate of about 2%, although we don't really know, do we, Slim?
Well, no, you have an update on that, right? Yeah, there's two different studies that came out today. One says 3%, one says 4.8%. I won't get into any details of either one of them because as far as I'm concerned, the numbers aren't correct that they're even working with. So, I mean, we know outside of China, we pretty much know the confirmed cases in each of the countries. It's not being hidden. China's the country that everything's being kind of hush-hush at this point.
Right.
So we don't know. There was an additional 18 American passengers.
What happened to you?
We lost Slim.
We lost Slim.
Coronavirus got him.
Are you there, Slim? We lost Slim.
Uh-oh.
Well, the average flu outbreak in the United States has about a 2% death rate, but there's been ones that are way higher. Depends on what year it is, what strain it is, that kind of thing.
1918.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah.
But about the same. Anyone want to argue though that Trump's trade war with China is a bad idea now? I mean, obviously, the less we depend on them, and it is way less now than 4 years ago, the better off we'll be. Still, it's a problem that needs a solution, and it needs that solution soon. Just like Slim's microphone.
Yeah, it came from China.
Oh, he really is gone. What the hell?
Yeah, but he can't be gone because we're still connected. So he's like semi-gone. I got a feeling we're going to get text messages saying that you're going to have to disconnect and reconnect.
No, it says Brent Natzel left.
Oh.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll add Brent to the call.
Okay.
I can do that. See if it works.
Did the call start with you?
It says no.
Oh.
But Skype works way better now than it used to.
Oh, good.
He's unavailable. He's I'll bet you he's rebooting.
Okay.
And if you know the size of Slim's feet, that could take a while.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh my God! Somebody's telling me on a message that they hear Daryl singing in the background. Oh Jesus! His internet dropped. Text message from Slim.
This is riveting radio.
That's all right. But hey, they're even talking about moving the Olympics out of Japan, for Christ's sake.
Well, you know, just don't let the Chinese team come, I guess. I don't know.
All the Asian countries are having outbreaks. Korea's got one. Japan's got some. And the friggin' Japan, I mean, what the hell were they thinking? They had a ship there, a cruise ship with 3,400 people on board, and they had like 7 or 8 people they figured had the coronavirus, so they quarantined the whole ship in place. They kept 3,400 people in place. And Slim and I were talking last night before we did the Idol show, and he said over, what was it, 670 or 680 people came down with it.
Well, that'll do it.
I mean, Jesus God.
Well, I mean, the good news at that point is it's contained on that ship. I mean, the bad news is for the people who got it. I mean, it sucks to be them. But
yeah.
if you let those people out and they just go around wherever they're going to go to, I mean, that's how epidemics start, although city, you know, quarantines don't seem to work real well.
Yeah, especially if you try to quarantine. I just got another message. They hear bad singing in the background too. Daryl's got us screwed up here.
Daryl is listening in, just singing in the background because I don't hear him.
He had his birthday yesterday. He's probably still hungover.
I'm back.
There you are. Daryl's singing in the background, according to our listeners.
You're fucking serious.
I've gotten four messages on Facebook already.
Son of a bitch.
And he's singing badly.
Well, it's Daryl.
Well, yeah, that's true. So anyway, we'll just muddle on and
that is what it is.
Assume the podcast will be good.
The podcast will be fine, other than me blowing out of there because my internet dropped. But my real quick on my coronavirus, there's 18 additional American passengers on the Diamond Princess cruise ship that have now tested positive for the coronavirus after being evacuated into the U.S., so they are in quarantine. I don't know the exact numbers now that came off from the ship.
So now that number is up at least 700 then.
Correct. The other important announcements, China once again has changed the definition of what they are considering a confirmed case of coronavirus. This is the third time.
We don't like the number, change the definition.
Correct. And this is the third time in a week that they've changed the why.
One of the scariest things I heard today, Slim.
What's that?
I was half listening to Tucker in the background when I was writing up the show notes. And apparently there's only three labs in the country that are set up to actually identify coronavirus. So we're not really doing a good job testing people here either.
No, we are not. Daryl's not responding. I just did check, and there's our show and his show playing like this happened once before. So
awesome.
Also, like you mentioned, the world markets are taking a hit. There is riots in the Ukraine over the arrival of evacuees from Japan or from China.
Are seven each other in the parliament there too. So you know it's a little wild.
There is 7,000 plus Americans now self-quarantined at home across the U.S. That I kind of think is quite interesting. Also, the virus is now infecting the law enforcement in Hong Kong. So there's your big updates. There is cases in Switzerland and Italy. South Korea is a hotbed as well.
Italy's really weird because they had 150 cases in northern Italy, they think. But Barcelona is going down to play Naples in the Champions League tomorrow. So Barcelona comes down from Spain, the Basque region of Spain. And they're flying down to southern Italy to play Naples tomorrow in the Champions League. Every single player and coach and trainer and everybody got off the plane from Barcelona was immediately sent to medical testing. That's how paranoid they're getting.
Hmm.
I mean, it's effed.
It's definitely getting crazy. And we'll see. I mean, CB, do you think this is going to be anything that we have to worry about here in the United States on a major level? Or do you think this is going to be more China and everywhere else and we're going to deal with this just fine?
Well, no. I mean, it's going to get around. There's no choice in the matter. Quarantines or whatever have leaks. They just do. What will end up happening is the epidemic will burn itself out.
Well, or here's the thing. I mean, because one of the big conspiracy theories with this whole thing is that it is a weaponized version of coronavirus, and the official virus is COVID-19. It's not actually coronavirus. It's another form of coronavirus. They are saying it's weaponized, which...
Well, isn't the city where it first developed, isn't that a biological warfare?
Yes, that is correct. But there is, and again, this is getting into the conspiracy end of it a little bit, but there is supposedly a paper trail that proves that this virus originated in the United States, was transferred to Canada, and then shipped from Canada to Wuhan, to their facility in Wuhan. So
It in the United States and sent it to China?
They sent it to Canada, and Canada then sent it to China. That's one of the links that they're all trying to put together right now, is where this actually came from. The original story was this came from their fish market, or they ever got infected from their fish market. But that is definitely not the case. There has been research that they've pulled that show that there's mutated genes in here that show a biological mechanism to this virus. This is definitely not something out of the fish market. This is definitely something that was created for a purpose. Whether it accidentally got out, there's one story that says that it was being the virus was being transported in a vehicle, and the vehicle was in an automobile accident, and that's one of the ways they think that it. I think that's just one. I'm throwing out all the different, you know, avenues here.
I think they're looking at a way to calm down all the protests in Hong Kong, and it got carried away.
I think it was one of two things. It was either exactly that the protests were out of control, and this all of a sudden ended them, or this is that whole population control that some of our Illuminati and some of our elites, But I'm
rooting on the Hong Kong thing because
Bill Gates.
Way to stop the protests than have everybody have to stay inside?
Well, that's exactly it.
So, let's go from the scariest story of the week to the most uplifting story of the week.
Okay.
It happened Saturday night in Toronto at a hockey game. The Carolina Hurricane were playing the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Carolina starting goaltender James Reimer was knocked out in the first period with a lower body injury. And then his backup, Peter Mrazek, was knocked out in the second period in a collision, and it was a great collision. I mean, he came way out of his net to get a puck on the left boards because his defenders were caught up ice, and he's racing for the puck with the Toronto guy, and pow! I mean, smash, elbow, knees, everything hit him in the head. His head hits the ice. He goes staggering off the ice. So what do you do when you lose both your goalies? Well,
forfeit.
Under NHL rules, all hockey games, there has to be an emergency goalie available for the teams. In Toronto, on Saturday night, David Ayers, a 42-year-old Zamboni driver for the Maple Leafs minor league team, the Toronto Marlies, made his NHL debut against the Leafs. He was the emergency goalie for both Carolina and Toronto on Saturday night, as is normal under the rules. He was pressed into action after those injuries I just told you about. He's been the emergency backup in Toronto for the last 3 years, and this is a dude who had a kidney transplant in 2004. Okay, so 16 years ago, he would have been 26 years old. He had to have a kidney transplant. So Reimer gets knocked out. Mrazek has this wild collision, and Ayers comes in. Carolina had a 4-1 lead at the time. He comes in, and the first two shots Toronto takes on him are goals. So it's 4-3 going into the third. Now, you got to understand, this guy, Carolina made up a jersey for him real quick. They stuck his name on the back of a jersey and plopped it on him. But he had Toronto Maple Leaf pants on and a Toronto Maple Leaf goalie mask.
Well, I mean, he's their Zamboni driver.
But the great thing is, the third period, he saved all 8 shots fired at him in the last period. He played a total of 28 minutes, and he got the win.
Good for him.
Hurricanes won 6-3. He said, "It's awesome. Obviously, the time of my life out there, once in a lifetime, I'll take it."
So whose locker room does he get to go to?
Well, he went into the Hurricanes locker room after the game, and he got a standing ovation, just whoops and shouts and cheers and hollers.
As he should.
He's 42 years old. He's the oldest goalie to ever debut in the NHL. He's the oldest goalie to ever get a win in the NHL. Or the oldest goalie to get a win in his debut, I should say. There's been goalies.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gump Worsley was a hell of a lot older.
Yeah. But he said the second period was a little shaky, but I told the boys in the dressing room, this is like he's part of the team. I told the boys, once we come out for the third,
their father. That's why he said boys.
I'll be settled down and ready to win this one. Like I said, he's wearing a Leafs pants and Marlies. He was wearing the minor league hockey team's helmet. First ever NHL win for an emergency backup goalie. It's just awesome. Maple Leaf center Austin Matthews was annoyed that his team only took 10 shots in 28 minutes against them. He says, no disrespect to Davey, awesome guy, but when you got an emergency goalie like that coming into the game, I think the consensus is to shoot the puck as much as possible.
He's got a point.
Yeah, but I don't know. I didn't watch the game. I was watching live PD or something, then I watched the Wilder Fury fight.
Oh, was that the $80 fight?
Yeah, it was the $80 fight.
Yeah. Well. How long did that one last?
It was seven rounds, but it, technically it was over about, it was really over about 1 minute into the third. Fury won the first round. Wilder won the second round. I'm pretty sure that's the way the cards would have gone. But in the third round, Fury hit him right on the ear with a big, big right hook. And Wilder's ear started bleeding. And he never, never regained his full equilibrium. His legs were spread out, and you know you can't dance and really box with your legs spread out that far. Right. But he had to do it to keep his balance. And Fury, who is 6'9", 273 pounds, and can actually box, he's a fine boxer. He's got skills. And Wilder is the best knockout artist in the history of the heavyweight division. 41 knockouts and 42 fights coming in. Or in 43 fights, because he had the draw with Fury last year. So, but yeah, the fight was really over in the third, but as a testament to how good Wilder is, you know, he lasted till the seventh. But his corner threw in the towel. I mean, he was gone. Like I said, the fight was over 1 minute into the third. It just took him another 12 minutes to call it. That was about it. So
yeah, you got whacked in the head like that. Not good.
It wasn't as bad as my man Conor McGregor. You know, the Conor McGregor fight last month was $65, and of course I actually watched all the prelims for that because I like UFC. I didn't watch any of the prelims in the boxing. I didn't give a shit. But McGregor comes out and knocked out Cowboy Cerrone in 40 seconds. So,
oops.
So, yeah, you know, you go dollar per minute, the boxing match was a better value.
Yeah, well, sort of like when I play golf. I get the lowest cost of stroke per hole.
Yeah, there you go. That was always my excuse when I shot in triple digits. I was trying to get value.
And then you played the second hole.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. I'll tell you what, though, for all the sports I was good at, golf is not one of them, but I like playing golf more than any other sport I ever did. It was just fun.
Golf is fun. I sucked at it, but it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, did you ever break 80?
On the front nine.
On the front nine. No, okay.
I've hit one golf ball in my life, and it went completely the opposite direction.
I never broke 80. I think 86 was my best, or 85 or something like that, was my best round I ever had at a real course. There was this short course we played where it was a par 68, and I'd shoot in the 80s there all the time, but I didn't count that one. But I think my average score is probably about 98, something like that. I don't know. So I got my money's worth. Let's see. What else happened? Oh, other big news today was Harvey can't keep it in my pants Weinstein. Harvey was convicted, led away in cuffs. And then he decided his heart hurt, so they took him to the hospital.
Yeah, on the way to Rikers, they transported him to the hospital.
So he was convicted of rape and sexual assault against two women, led off to prison in handcuffs Monday in what his foes hailed as a landmark moment for the legal system, a long overdue reckoning for the most vilified as the biggest monster of the Me Too era. 67-year-old Weinstein had a look of resignation on his face when he heard the verdict. Guilty on two charges, not guilty on a set of more serious ones. There's three other ones and he was not guilty on. The thing that bugs me is Cyrus Vance is the district attorney in New York City. And Cyrus Vance wants to replace Cuomo as the governor. So I think there's a lot of political motivations behind prosecuting Weinstein in New York on charges that are as old as these are and as flimsy as they are. California might have better cases. He's going to be charged and put on trial in California shortly.
Yeah, well, I'm sure New York said, you know, he's in our jurisdiction. We're going to take it first. You know, there's a lot of... I got to be first at it in the prosecution biz.
Oh, everybody's celebrating this. I know the man's a pig, okay? I mean, he's a pig. His defense was, well, you know, they had sex with me to advance their careers.
Yeah.
Okay. But the two women involved in the charges that he was convicted of both have continued to stay in touch with him via email and in person after the so-called sexual assaults. And they released a bunch of the emails in the trial. Apparently they were very warm, friendly, even flirtatious. And both
they wanted to keep working.
And well, one woman was a makeup artist. She wasn't even an actress, but both of them have had at least in one case multiple, in the other case I know at least one, but maybe that one was multiple also, additional sexual encounters with Mr. Weinstein. So I'm just thinking, you know, if I'm a woman and some ugly pig like him rapes me and I'm traumatized over the rape, why would I be writing him flirtatious emails and then going back and having sex with him some more? You know, I just...
Yeah, I think you're onto something with this.
He's a pig. I hate to defend a pig like him, but I think this case was really, really weak. You know, for a number of years, we didn't even think they were going to bring a case in New York because statute of limitations on some of the things and the speculation on some of the other ones. And like Annabelle Sciorra, the woman who said she was raped in the 90s. Well, I mean, it was, you know, almost 30 years ago. You know, how can you remember stuff, you know, clearly or get witnesses and things like that for someone that was 27 years old? You know, it was a thin case. I'm not saying the guy isn't a pig. I'm not saying the guy doesn't deserve to be punished. I'm just saying this conviction looks more political than legal to me.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's going to have the same kind of...
I hope in California they got better evidence and can put the sumbitch away for real, but I don't, you know, I'm not a lawyer, obviously, but I just don't see how this thing holds up on appeal. As flimsy as the circumstances are. So, fat ugly Harvey, he'll walk. He'll probably die before any of this shit happens. I mean, look at the guy. He's 67. You know, he's a
fat...
Well,
how much is wandering around in a walker for the courtroom and the jury?
Yeah, but
apparently when they handcuffed him and took him out, they put their arms under his... and they didn't use his walker. They just basically hauled his ass right out of there. But then he was taken to the out of the courthouse in an ambulance, strapped in a stretcher, and taken to a locked unit at Bellevue Hospital. The judge said he would ask that Weinstein, who had been free on bail since his arrest 2 years ago, be held in an infirmary on the city's Riker Island Jail complex after his lawyer said he needs medical attention following unsuccessful back surgery. I don't know. There is such a thing as successful back surgery, is there?
No.
It's tough.
I've had two major spinal cord surgeries, and you know, my neurosurgeon just said, he goes, it'll be better than it was, but it ain't gonna be better. Mm-hmm. And he was right. Slim, you agree with that?
Yeah. No. I've had five surgeries, and I'll never be right again. So, ever.
You've only had five. I mean, just five on your back.
Five on my neck.
Yeah, five. You've had five on your neck?
Yep, five neck surgeries.
Jesus, that's a lot.
And I still need to have at least two more, but I'm pushing them off. So,
are you shorter?
No, I am not. Definitely not shorter.
See, the great thing after my first surgery was I was a half inch taller. And then after my second surgery, I was another half inch taller, so I gained an inch.
Good deal.
Yeah, but the problem was I was still a half inch taller than that when I was in high school, so I didn't get it all back.
But, well, hang upside down by your feet.
Yeah, you know.
There you go. They say that works.
Oh, I don't. My ankles couldn't take that either. So, well, I don't know. We'll see. He said in an appearance on Fox 2 that he was headed to the jail, but then he got diverted for this heart palpitation and high blood pressure. But the sexual assault charge carries up to 25 in prison. The third-degree rape counts 4 years. But he was acquitted of first-degree rape and found him guilty of third-degree rape, which just involves lack of consent. See, I don't see how you convict somebody of lack of consent when she went back and fucked them again. I just don't
get
that.
You're right, but it just because you had sex with somebody today and they consented, didn't consent tomorrow and then consent the next day, that's, I mean, it's still, no means no. I mean, if you don't consent then, it's no. I mean, regardless of whether you go back and consent a week later or 2 weeks later, I mean, no means no.
Well, Uma Thurman, Gwyneth Paltrow, Salma Hayek, Ashley Judd, Mira Sorvino all complained about him, but those cases were too old to prosecute. Well, apparently he tried, or he grabbed them, or
he's been doing this for decades.
Yeah. Well, what do you think Goldwyn and Mayer did?
Well, I understand, but that was a different time, and they didn't Hollywood get prosecuted for it. This is a little different.
Now, but see, here's why does somebody like Joe Biden? I mean, Joe hasn't raped anybody, but how does he get away with his inappropriate touching and stuff like that? That,
well, let him get the nomination. We'll see if he gets away with it. Because I got a feeling I know what the commercials are going to look like.
There's no way he gets the nomination.
He went South Carolina, and everybody's freaking out about Bernie. You know. Bernie the Socialist. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah.
Did you watch the debate
Lenin,
last week?
Lenin was a socialist, too.
Did you watch last week's debate?
What, the Democrats?
Yes.
I watched all the highlights. I was too busy watching Trump's trolling them at his rally in Arizona that night.
Oh, my God.
Trump was fucking hysterical. The best show on TV is a Trump rally. The man is...
Well, fun. I don't know. I think at this point, that night, the Democratic debate was actually the best show on TV, because from the moment they started, they were just all balls to the wall against Bloomberg, and it was absolutely wonderful to watch. I mean, even though I can't stand any of them...
I don't care how much money he has. He can't paper over that.
No, they trashed him.
He's got another one coming up, and...
There's another one in South Carolina, and I'm sure Trump's going to have a rally the same night as that, too. But the thing that killed me about the Democratic debate, and I did watch most of the highlights. I mean, I saw at least 30 minutes of it just through highlights on the news over the next day or so. But the thing that just blew me away was when Mini Mike defended capitalism, and the Democratic audience booed. They booed capitalism. But it didn't... It shocked me for a second, and then I remember these are the same people who at their convention booed God in 2012.
Well, and they were actually caught just before the debate started removing the flag from the stage.
I posted that.
Oh, did you post it? Okay.
Yeah, I posted that. Yeah, they had some guy come out. There's one American flag on the left-hand side of the stage. And before it started, they came out and removed it.
Yeah, they did. There's
speculation out there, and since we're talking about this and the next story ties in, I was asked what you guys think. Do you guys think they're going to nominate Sanders, and they're going to let this thing go because basically the Democrats don't think anybody can really beat Trump, and they don't want somebody like Buttfudge. Who's an up-and-comer, and Biden's so old. They're just going to let this... They're kind of letting this one go, like they did with Mondale against Reagan.
I disagree.
I don't think so.
No? I have a whole different...
I think that the old fossils that run the Democratic Party do not want to lose.
They don't want to lose
the party.
Yeah, but
no, they don't. It's not that Bernie's they don't want winning. To lose the election. They don't want to lose control of the party.
No, but you
but
know
Bernie's
what's
winning.
Here's what's
I understand
happen,
that,
I
but that doesn't mean he controls the party.
Hey, the broom handle up their ass country club Republican fucks lost control of that party, and I'm okay with that. I never liked them people anyway.
Yeah, but you know what my shock I think is going to be?
For them.
Bloomberg's going to get the nomination because Hillary's the vice is going to be his vice president pick. He gets off very shortly thereafter. He takes office, and Hillary becomes president. So, boom, there you go. Bloomberg president, Hillary vice president.
I don't think anybody in their right mind would make Hillary their vice presidential
candidate. He said he's going to.
Oh, please. He'll be dead.
He has.
He didn't say he's going to.
He said he wants to.
He hasn't said anything.
He would consider it. I think that's what it was.
Somebody floated it. just to see what would happen.
To be honest with you, I think that screams getting him on, getting the nomination. Even though Hillary,
I think he'll do anything. I think he's trying to buy it. I mean, he's gonna walk into the convention center with stacks of $100 bills and hand it out to the superdelegates because that's completely legal.
Yep, and he's paying people. What is he paying people? $2,500 for 10.
Oh God,
30,
I want to sign up for that.
Yeah, it's $2,500 a week for 30 hours
a month.
Of paid social media. Oh, is it a month? I thought it was okay, but it's 30 hours. You have to reside in California, though. I did look up the stuff.
Oh, man.
You do have to reside in California.
Yeah, he's counting on winning California on Super Tuesday. That's his big push. So now I've got a.
He's not going to win California on Super Tuesday.
Bloomberg?
Yeah.
He's going for it. He might.
Well, he doesn't have a chance in hell.
When is Super Tuesday?
How far a week 3rd. From next Tuesday.
Oh, it's close. Okay.
I got a story about Trump derangement syndrome here and one lucky, lucky, lucky man. Apparently, a California woman has divorced her husband of 22 years because he voted for Donald Trump. She found out, she overheard, she's a retired prison guard. Her name's Gail McCormick. She's 73. She was shocked when her husband revealed to friends during a lunch that he had planned to vote for the controversial Republican candidate, they call it. If you wonder, the Evening Standard, yeah, there's an English paper, a little left wing. It totally undid me that he could vote for Trump, said McCormick, who added that she felt betrayed. I felt like I'd been fooling myself. It opened up areas between us I'd not faced before. I realized how far I had gone in my life to accept things I would have never accepted when I was younger. She describes herself as a Democrat leaning towards socialist, and she is now separated from her conservative husband pending the divorce. This comes as the U.S. is still smarting from one of the most divisive and bitterly fought elections in its history. A Reuters Ipsos poll shows the gulf between Republicans and Democrats is widening, with the number of people who argue with the family and friends over politics is up 6 percentage points to 39%. Said 16% have stopped talking to a family member because of the election. Another 17% said they'd blocked a family member or friend on social media for the same reason.
Oh, I have.
I could see that. Maybe not family member. I could see friend.
Well, I'm telling you, if this old bag divorced her husband of 22 years over who he voted for,
and how old did you say she was?
73. I'm telling you what, he's a lucky, lucky man. God bless him. Let's see, what else we got? Oh, the Dems had their Nevada primary. We were just talking about that. It was last Saturday.
And they got the votes counted.
Yeah, it actually did. Strangely, 46% of the voters voted against their own economic interests, and in many cases, their own unions, because commie Bernie won. I know he calls him Crazy Bernie, but he's Commie Bernie. He got 46% of the vote. Jesus God. And this is in a state where the unions are really big with the Democratic voters, you know, the trade unions out there, the hotel workers and all that kind of stuff. And they are adamantly against Bernie Sanders because they negotiated nice health care packages for their union members. That's what a union is supposed to do. They did their job. They've got a good package there, and they don't want Bernie coming in, screwing it up, putting them on their quote-unquote Medicare for all. It ain't going to be Medicare, baby, and it ain't going to be for all either. But he won 46%. Creepy Joe was a distant second. He had, around 20 or something, a little less than 20, I think. But the best part, besides Trump trolling them with three rallies in the area in three consecutive days, including Nevada on Friday, was a group of Trump boosters in Vegas. From the New York Post, pigeons and MAGA hats set loose in Las Vegas ahead of Democratic debate. A flock of pigeons wearing tiny Make America Great Again hats was released in Sin City by a group of Trump boosters on the eve of the Democratic debate, according to a report on last Wednesday. In the bizarre stunt, activists adorned the birds with one of the birds with a coiffed Trump wig as part of the aerial protest. It took exhaustive research, logistical hurdles, and pigeon caretaking. The organization is called Pigeons United to Interfere Now.
Pigeons United to Interfere Now.
Yeah.
Queen?
Cut-in. Putin.
Oh, spells Putin. Putin. Oh, I forgot the T.
Even their name is clever.
Yes. I'm sure they had to work at it. You know, we got to... All right, what the hell are we going to do here?
The political flap comes as the six Democratic candidates were gearing up for that debate Wednesday night. And the group is also known as Putin, is led by a man who goes by Kuhand Luke. Kuhand, because pigeons.
Ah.
And it was inspired by the Cold War era CIA operation Takana, in which agents used pigeons fitted with tiny cameras to spy on Soviet Union sites. In December, a flock of pigeons wearing cowboy hats was spotted in Las Vegas, and one of the birds later died, possibly from glue fumes. Putin doesn't say how it got the TC caps to stay put on the birds' heads. Wasn't immediately clear if the previous stunt was linked to the same group. Well, it's a little dot of super glue. Put the hat on, boom, there you go. Take it off, hey, they lose a feather. It's like picking a nose hair. Only hurts for a second, but it's gone. But you got MAGA hat pigeons flying around Vegas in the Democratic convention. That the only thing I like better than that is that artist out in California who does the billboards, the pro-Trump billboards all the time, and he sticks them up in Hollywood, and he just drives them crazy. Huh. It's freaking awesome.
Well, and with there's a service out there that makes putting billboards wherever you want in the United States very, very simple, right from your home computer. I can put billboards in Times Square for as little as 10 cents a blip. It's amazing. Sorry, just figured I'd...
The guy in California paints hands.
Oh, he paints now. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
these are not electronic.
he does like subway signs, and he'll do like a takeoff of an upcoming big Hollywood movie that's coming out.
Right.
And he'll put Pelosi and Schumer and people like that in there, and then Trump like is the god above them and that kind of stuff. It's he just trolls the hell out of liberals. I love it. You know, it's great because Trump, you know, people are getting all pissed off. But I got no sympathy for him getting pissed off because this is the first time there's been a guy with an R behind his name who ever fought back.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and he does overdo it sometimes, no problem.
Sometimes?
Sometimes.
Only on days that end in Y, you're right.
Nah, I mean, the other night at his rally, he spent 10 minutes bitching about A.B. Stoddard saying he lost debates, which obviously he didn't. But he spent 10 minutes talking about how bad Neil Cavuto was, and he wouldn't mention A.B. Stoddard by name, just said that she's some political hack, probably has a little more oomph than other people because she gets her face on TV a lot. But you know, she did say that. She said, you know, Bloomberg can recover from his lousy debate performance because, heck, Donald Trump lost debates. And I knew right away that's bullshit. I've seen every poll from all those debates Trump had when he's running for president, including against Hillary. He didn't lose any of them. As a matter of fact, overwhelming. I mean, he would get, like, his first couple debates against 17 Republicans, he'd get like 48-46%, and then the next guy was like 10, and then 5-4, but then he spent 10 minutes showing the goddamn debate the pages of the polls where he won the debates. I mean, that was a bit much there, Donald. We don't need that shit. Talk about what you're going to do for the country when we get the House back, and just, you know, let these little people just be little people. You're the president of the United States. You don't need to argue with little dweebs like A.B. Stoddard and Neil Cavuto. I mean, he couldn't resist saying, "Well, since Shepard Smith's gone, Neil Cavuto is the lowest rated show on Fox." He's right, but he didn't need to point it out.
Right.
Anyway, we got two criminals of the week.
We love criminals.
Yep. Our favorite criminal. We got a favorite criminal of the week.
Okay, what do you got?
Good for us.
He's a convicted murderer. His name is Jonathan Watson. He's in California. Why would we like a murderer? Because every once in a while, they've got a few values left. They're twisted, maybe, but anyway, here's what happened. Jonathan Watson, who was convicted of murder for a 2009 killing, is in prison in Corcoran, California. And basically, they don't want to comment on it, but days before the attacks that he had in prison, his security classification was changed and he was transferred from a single person cell to a lower security dormitory pod at the Central Valley facility. It was a careless mistake, Watson called it, and he even protested the decision. Yes. But he also wrote in his confession that 6 days after he arrived at the prison, a child molester moved into the pod. Watson believed the man began taunting other inmates by watching children's television programming. Watson said in the letter he couldn't sleep that night, having not done what every instinct told me I should have done right then and there. Now, you understand, this is years ago, but he's been a single cell for all this time. So, 2 hours prior to the attack, Watson told a prison counselor they urgently needed to be transferred back to a higher level security before I really fuck one of these dudes up. But the counselor scoffed and dismissed him. He was returned to his housing pod. So he was mulling it over, and child molester number one came and put his TV right on the PBS Kids show again. And this time someone said something to the effect that, is this guy really going to watch this right in front of us? And Watson recalled saying, I got this. He picked up a cane, and he went to work on him.
Where the hell do they get canes?
I don't know. Well, you know. But this guy this guy was a known child trafficker, and he was convicted of deviant sexual intercourse with a minor under age 14. And as Watson said, I was in for a penny, in for a pound. So he told
for a life, in for two lives.
Yeah. He looked around the corner and he saw the mess he'd left in the dorm area. But the most interesting thing is that was the second one. He killed two child molesters in 3 days. Two of them.
How the hell do you kill one and then stick around to kill another one?
Prisoner David Bob died that day that he confessed. And Graham D. Lewis Conti, 62, died 3 years later. Oh, he killed them both. I'm sorry. He killed them both on the same day, but one took 3 days to die.
Oh.
I mean, he beat them both to death. But the one death took a little longer. The other one died pretty much right away. They were both serving life sentences for aggravated sexual assault of a child under 14. So, you know, Watson is he's in for murder himself. He's got a life sentence. He's never getting out.
No.
So what the hell? You know, that's one of those.
And he told him that he should be put back in his single cell.
Yeah, he knew he was going to lose it on these fuckers.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it. And, you know, I don't see why having mitigating circumstances is really going to help him. It's not like he's going to get a lesser sentence.
Yeah.
What's that T-shirt say? The one I keep wanting to buy, but I don't. At my age, life in prison is
yeah. Life in prison used to be
I like
that's so a whole much. To
apparently, that's it for Mr. Watson. So yeah, he's a murdering psycho son of a bitch. But you know, can't say anything about his first victim. I don't know anything about the circumstances of it. But the second two victims, second and third victims, fuck them. Don't care. But of course, we have a stupid criminal of the week too. And, of course, he comes from...
Florida!
Of course.
I always do.
His name is Stephen Short. Stephen Short liked to steal meat. He was in Deland, Florida, and he was stealing steak from a local grocery store. He was stuffing ribeye steaks. At least, hey, it's a good cut. I'd have stolen fillets, but ribeyes are good. You know, got a little bit of fillet on the end of there. He was stuffing, 28-year-old Stephen Short was stuffing ribeye steaks in his pants last Friday evening. And a manager and another guy got together, a shopper and the manager got together and confronted him. And the manager told Short to return the meat he shoved down his pants. Short refused, so the two men tackled him to the ground. And the manager said, "You're not going to do this to me again. You come in here and you steal all the time. You're not getting away this time." So Short, trying to get away from these two guys, shimmied out of his clothes. In an attempt to escape, the meat fell out of his pants, but he was found running naked from the store when officers arrived. Authorities said Short refused to obey their commands, so they used a taser on him, striking him with a prong in his genitals.
Wow.
How's your meat like that, bitch?
It doesn't.
They removed the other prong hit him in the abdomen. They removed that one, but they had to take him to the hospital to get the other one taken from his penis.
Oh, that's even worse.
Hey, come on. If you're the cop, you're like, I'm not taking that one out.
Oh, they
I might take it out with a pair of pliers.
Body camera video from the arrest shows Short naked on the ground in front of the store, wailing and screaming. Well, duh! You took what, 25, 50,000 bullets? I don't know how many.
This is the
police taser.
A lot of bullets. This is what it sounded like.
Right in the weenie.
This is what it sounded like.
Okay. I'll bet it did.
I'll bet you. Did you ever see Godfather? What was it? 3? At the end, where the daughter gets killed. Mm-hmm. And Al Pacino's mouth is wide open and he's screaming, but you can't hear anything. He's screaming so hard.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I'll bet you it was more like that.
Can you imagine?
I'll bet you there was no noise coming out of him.
I mean, it's bad enough when you get just tapped there, let alone, you know, hit.
You know what's really bad, though? He was accused of stealing 4 ribeye steaks and a butterscotch pudding, valued at $42.23.
The pudding?
The 4 ribeye steaks and the
okay.
Well, they were low end cuts then.
Yeah. Well, now 4 ribeyes, you know, that's $10 bucks a piece. They probably weren't real big, but that's all right.
Oh, I thought you said $4. I'm sorry.
No, $42. I'm sorry. The manager of the store said he's a perpetual shoplifter. According to Volusia County records, he's been arrested more than a dozen times since 2010 for shoplifting, burglary, and battery.
How the hell is this guy still on the streets?
Hey, in California, they just let him go. It's under $900. They won't prosecute you under $900. They're doing the same thing in Philadelphia. They're making it impossible for people to run businesses. But yeah, shoot him in the cojones with the taser. I wonder if that'll be a deterrent.
Yeah, I bet you the next time he goes in, he steals ice packs.
The only saving grace he had was the ribeye steaks were cold. And maybe it was numbed up a little bit.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah, probably not that much.
He should have worn a cup.
I got one here. I got to ask. I got to do this because CB's got to help me with this one.
Why is it something to pronounce?
Thank you very much. Happy birthday, Bob Rashad. There you go. Why liberals can never hold power again segment this week. We got some insanity from your Massachusetts.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. Cambridge, Massachusetts. City councilors in Cambridge, Massachusetts have voted to prohibit local police from arresting illegals who are caught operating a vehicle without a proper license. Let me repeat that. They have voted, the city council, Cambridge, home of Harvard and MIT, have voted to prohibit local police from arresting illegals who are caught operating a vehicle without a proper license. It was passed February 10th, and conservatives fear, all those evil conservatives have fear, it could lead to encouraging illegals to drive without a license since the rules have been removed. That's a giant duh.
Why can't the somebody who just gets pulled over by the cops that doesn't have a driver's license now just say, I'm an illegal alien, so they don't get the ticket for driving corrupt?
I would argue
and
that.
They'll be protected from ICE.
Well, that's the thing. City Councilor Quentin Zondervan, whatever. If it was his birthday, I wouldn't wish him a happy one. Fuck you. We need to protect our. This is the quote from him. We need to protect our community members from a federal government that's out of control. There are no other reasons for police to arrest someone, give them court summons instead, which keeps them out of the clutches of the Trump administration. This is how insane liberals are. We're going to endanger the rest of our community with illegal aliens who aren't properly licensed to drive. They're illegal in the first place. That's a crime, number one. They're driving without a license. That's crime number two. But damn it, we're going to protect them from Trump. Huh? Does this make any sense to you at all, CB?
No, in Cambridge, yes.
That's how friggin' liberal they are, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was... Yeah, it's referred to around here, and I know we've spoken about this before, as the People's Republic of Cambridge. Yes. Anything granola-like, they are all for. It's a liberal bastion in a liberal bastion state.
City leaders felt compelled to officially make it a law in fear of what could happen to immigration laws should President Trump be reelected. Oh, you mean he might get rid of people who shouldn't be here? Or, oh my God. You know, if I was a black or brown person who lived in Cambridge, I'd be mad as hell. Because they're just encouraging illegals to come there and keep the wages down and take your jobs. You know, Pedro will work for $5 under the table instead of them paying you $11. Come on. That's bullshit. See, people don't understand. There's consequences to everything. And apparently, liberal people don't think them through very well at all.
No, they don't.
Immigration officials announced they are sending additional border agents to sanctuary cities in an effort to step up the current administration's immigration enforcement. In Cambridge, they want the illegals to be able to drive a car so they can run away from the ISIS coming.
And you know what? This is just the start of it. There's going to be other places that follow in suit, I think.
This crap is going all over, but the sanctuary city thing is... I don't understand. As soon as the sanctuary city thing makes the Supreme Court, it's going to be over.
Right.
I mean, and that's... I mean, Sotomayor. I mean, she's a moron anyway. I mean, this has got to be the dumbest person ever put on the Supreme Court of the United States. Elena Kagan, yeah, Obama put her up there. Yes, she's a liberal. But she's got a brain in her head. She can think. Okay? Sotomayor is just, you know, I'm a Latina. That's all she... That's her whole identity. She's mad because federal courts can't just willy-nilly block Trump at every turn. And it's pissing her off. And she knows when this crap gets to the Supreme Court, they're going to go by the law, which she doesn't. And she's going to lose 7-2 or 8-1 in the vote, and she's all pissed off about it. Too bad.
Hey, guess what? Time to say hi to the kids.
Hey, Wesley. Hey, Jimmy. We'll see. They're both coming up this weekend. I'll see you then.
Cool. Say hi to my kids.
And don't let them listen to this show.
And don't listen to the show.
My kids are adults. They can listen in. And my stepdaughter is a roller derby stud, so you know, don't mess with me. I'll sick her on you.
There you go. And the podcast will be right. When I put this podcast,
she can run your ass down with them skates, man. She can. That girl can skate. Hi, Minnie.
Well, should I say hi to my kids?
Nah. Sure, if you'd like to.
Hi, Gracie and McKenna. They're in bed though. I hope.
That's all right.
All right, we'll be back next Sunday night at 11 o'clock for Idol Radio Show. If you're an American Idol fan, otherwise, join us Monday at 10.
Great, Gracie and McKenna. Daddy says bad words.
Yeah, I do. Good night, everybody.
Good night.